dismiss the children for church, children's church at this time. And hey, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here today and being willing to sit through some guy that you never seen before or maybe have never met before, and you got to listen to some other guy, and maybe the folks out in Earlham having the same experience this morning. I want you to know that I love Mike Damascus. I really do. He's a good friend to me. One of the smartest guys I know. Really, he is. And don't laugh. That's a true statement. He really is one of the smartest guys I know. And I love him. And he's a friend of mine. One of the first times I remember kind of hanging out with Mike. You'll sort of, if you know Mike, you know this kind of thing might happen. Is we were a group of preachers, and we were going all the way over to Indianapolis to a preachers' conference over there. And I think we might have met over at Rising Sun's parking lot, a group of us getting in the car, and Mike shows up, and he can barely carry this thing. He has like a 48-ounce bucket of Diet Coke in a big glass, a giant gulp, you know, and he's getting in the car, you know, with this full bucket of pop, and I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a long, long trip, you know, and sure enough, probably we were maybe 45 minutes out of town, and he's in the back seat, and he's going, well, anybody else got to go to the bathroom? I'm thinking, yep, that's what happens, right? When a big bucket of pop there. Hey, if you get a chance, maybe ask Mike sometime about the time he tried to kill me. That's right. He did try to kill me. He didn't, you know, maybe know at the time, but that's several years ago. I had a friend at church that had a couple of jet skis, and he said, hey, Steve, you want to take the jet skis go out on the lake? I said, yeah, it'd be great. And so I called Mike, said, hey, I got these jet skis for a week. Let's go up to Sailorville, meet me up there, we'll go out. And sure enough, we got off the trailers, kind of riding around, and I don't know that he had ever been on a jet ski before, but we did a little bit of riding, and then we kind of flagged him down and stopped, and so that we could chit-chat a little bit. And so I stopped on the jet ski. I'm looking over at Mike, and he's aiming right at me, and he kind of slows down. And then I said, yeah, you good? You know, he says, yeah, I'm good. And then literally, he just grabbed the throttle, full throttle, and came straight at me. And before I knew what to do, I just dove off of the back, and he T-boned, smashed right into the side of the jet ski that I was on. Well, as I come out of the water, very frustrated, because I didn't own these jet skis, you know, and he decided that it would be kind of fun to smash it. You know, I come up out of the water, and there he is. He's just laughing, big belly laugh, just ha, 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 ha. And I'm thinking, I got to buy my friend a new jet ski. Well, after several hours of sort of had a big rubber bumper on the front, trying to rub this this big black streak that was on, and kind of it all disappeared. I never did tell the guy, by the way, that this happened. But all the evidence was gone, and we survived. But I love Mike Damascus. I really do. And what I know about Mike is that Mike loves this church. He really does. He cares about it. And most importantly, he loves you. And he cares about you. And he prays for you. And he's interested in your physical well-being. More importantly, he is interested in your spiritual well-being. He cares about you. He cares about you. Hey, this morning we're going to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the Earlham Church of Christ is counting on the Fort Des Moines Church of Christ. The Earlham Church of Christ is counting on the Fort Des Moines Church of Christ because we know that the South Side needs Jesus, right? And there's people all around this place that need to know Jesus Christ. And we all live out in a little farming community out there in Earlham, a little bedroom community to West Des Moines maybe. But you guys are here. You're the ones with sort of your boots on the ground over here on the South Side. And so we want you. There's one God. And it's kind of fun to think about. Right now I'm preaching here, and maybe Mike's just kind of finishing up over there, our services start at a different time. One God, and he's watching us both. And all this is happening. His church is global. God sees it all. And the Earlham Church of Christ, one God. And this part of the city, God is just hoping and praying, and he's rooting for you, along with Mike, the people of this area will be reached for Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're going to talk about build his church and getting connected to his church. And we're going to talk about how to love coming to church. But first, I'm going to ask you, you'll bow your heads, and let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand here behind this pulpit where my friend Mike stands. And Father, you know the way that Mike and I fret and kind of talk and worry about and get excited about and kind of over enthusiastic sometimes, maybe even, and about the preaching that we get to do. And Father, we ask that you will bless this time, and that, Father, that you'll help us to forget everything that is said except for exactly what you want us to know. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to talk to you just a little bit about, you got a bulletin there, and it's got a little insert in there, how to love coming to church. Do you love coming to church? Do you love it? How do you go about loving coming to church? I want you to love coming to church. Mike wants you to love coming to church. Jesus wants you to love coming and be a part of his kingdom and his body. And so do you love coming to church? How do you love coming to church? How do you do that? Well, the first thing you can do is this. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have you ever kind of felt maybe when you're on the way out of church, you're kind of going, I just sure wish they would have done different. You know, maybe it'd be a little bit better if we could have just done this. I kind of wish they'd stop doing whatever the case might be. And then sometimes, you get in the car and you're driving home and you're just kind of thinking about, okay, we're just at church. I wish this was different, or this was better, or this was worse, or something like that. And so here's how you fix that. Here's how you love coming to church. You just make it a priority to say thank you to the people that are working and serving in the church. That's what you do. You make your way around and you find the people that are playing the instrument or leading the singing or the worship team or the people in the band or whatever the case might be. You find the janitor, right? You find the janitor and you say thank you. And you kind of make your way around and you find the Sunday school teachers and you go to them and you just make it a priority. I am going to tell them thank you for the work that they do. If there's somebody that cuts the grass or somebody's doing the yard work, you find them and you just make it. Today, when you're at home, you get out a thank you card and you just say, you know what, it takes a lot of people to make this church function. And you just don't go there and show up and it's all good. And so say thank you to the people that are doing the things here. And when you tell them thank you, you'll be more mindful of what takes place here and you'll be more eager to be here. Have an attitude of gratitude when you come. Scriptures tell us to humble ourselves. In fact, in Romans, Paul sitting there writing to Rome, right, in chapter 12, verse 3, says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So when you come to church, don't say, hey, it's about me. Church is about me. You think, when I come to church, it's about who can I say thank you to? Have an attitude of gratitude. Second thing you can do when you come to church is prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And here's what you do. You prepare spiritually. Prepare spiritually. When you come to church, be ready to come to church. You know what that means? During the week, have spent some time in your Bible. During the week, have spent some time praying for the people that are here. Prepare yourself spiritually. Ask God, when I go to church today, maybe there's somebody in the room that I can serve. Maybe there's something that I can hear from one of the people that's up there speaking. And God, ignite a fire within me. You prepare yourself. You want to be excited about coming to church? You want to love coming to church? Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself spiritually. Prepare this place. Prepare this place. You know, it's a lot of fun to come into this church, especially now. I remember some of you have been around here for a little while, and you can close your eyes, and then you can remember. Remember when this place just had those bleach white walls? How many of you kind of wince right now? You go, ooh, yeah, boy, we really did that for a long time, right? And then kind of paint it all up. It looks really sharp in here. I know you did some work back there in the fellowship area. And then when you come to church, you think first impressions. Who might be coming? Who might be coming to church, and what kind of an impression would they have? Is there anything I can do when I get there? Is there something that needs to be cleaned up? Is there something that needs polished up? Something that needs to be painted? You kind of walk around and you look and you come up with an idea. How could we make this place more welcoming? What could we do? Well, don't be silent. Tell somebody. And then here's the way you start that. Hey, there's something I would like to do for the church, and I'm wondering if there are some people that I could recruit to help me do it. And you get excited about this place and making it. So just welcoming to anyone that might come here. You do that. So here's what you do. You prepare yourself. You prepare yourself spiritually. You prepare this place for the work of God. And then you do this. You prepare relationally. Relationally. Are you the last one through the door, or do you get here early? Are you the last one through the door, or do you get here early? You want to love coming to church? You get up a little bit earlier, and you come to church a little bit earlier, and you interact with the people that are a part of the body of Christ. You love on them. You ask them how their week was going. You find out what kind of concerns they have. You take up an interest in the people that are around you because this is the body of Christ, the family of God. These are the holy saints, the royal priesthood. We talked about who's going to be singing in heaven and things like that. It's us. We are the ones. And so it's indignant upon us that we would get to know one another and love and care for one another. We get here early and we invest ourselves into the lives of the body of Christ. And you do that. You do that, and you're going to want to be here. How do you love coming to church? You have an attitude of gratitude. You prepare yourself, and then you do this. Expand your guest list. Expand your guest list. Invite somebody to church. Here's what I promise you. I promise you this. If you invite someone to church, I promise that you will listen more, you will pray more, you'll want to help more, you'll want to give more. All of your senses will be heightened at a hyper level if you're sitting next to the person that you invited to church. You will want to double down and invest into this place. But first you need to invite somebody to church. You need to expand your guest list. Did you know Jesus tells us to do that? Jesus tells us to do that. Here's what he said, Matthew chapter 28. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There's an answer to a question there. Here's the question. How much authority does Jesus have? It's the first word in all, right? He has it all. Jesus has all of the authority. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, Jesus says, I won't leave you hanging. I will be with you. I'll go with you, come alongside you. We're going to work on this thing together. So expand your guest list. Can you make a list of maybe there's somebody, a neighbor, somebody that you need to invite to church, somebody you can begin to pray about now, and you can just kind of tell yourself, between now and Thanksgiving, I'm going to begin to build a relationship with this person. And I'm going to begin to talk about my church, and I'm going to try and just kind of work this relationship in a way because I want them to know my Savior. I want them to know Jesus, and I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to invite them to be about. Listen, if you want to love coming to church, that's what you need to do. Appreciate the people that are here. Prepare yourself to be here. Think about the people that you might invite to this place, but there is a problem, and now I want everybody to kind of work with me on this one. I'm going to go dun dun dun, okay, like that. And so I want everybody in here to do that. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Dun dun dun. Okay. Now next time I point at you like this, that's when you guys have to do that. Okay. Let's just try it once. Ready? Okay. Very good. Okay. There's a problem. We're supposed to love coming to church. But there is a problem. Here's the thing. The problem is called the cycle of death. That's right. There's a problem. The church has this thing that is called the cycle of death in it. And here's the way the cycle of death works. It goes like this. People get interested in church. People get interested in church for all kinds of reasons. People get interested. They move to town, and then they think, okay, well, we're in a new town now. Let's go find a new church, right? People wander into the church, and people have a crisis. They have a crisis in their life. And then innately, God's kind of wired us all this way. We know, somewhere in the back of our mind, we know in this crisis, God's got to bail me out of this one. He's got to help me. I've got to go to God in order to get help. And so people kind of wander into the church. Sometimes people wander into the church, they want to get married, or they know somebody that needs to be buried. And so they find the church. And people come to church for all kinds of different reasons. But nevertheless, people find the church. They get interested in church. Then the next thing happens in the cycle of death is this. They get involved with the church and the leaders and the people. First they get interested, then they get involved. They kind of start to hang around and get to know their name. You see them here every once in a while, and then maybe they start to go to Sunday school or at a work day or something like that, and they get involved with it. The next thing that happens is this. They discover the imperfections of the church and the leaders and the people. It's true. Isn't that what happens? As the people come in and they think, oh, well, this is the solution to all of my problems. And so they get interested in the church. They get involved in the church. They look around. And then they realize this thing that Tony Campolo always says. He says, the problem with most of us is that we're like the rest of us. The problem with most of us is that we're like the rest of us. I've got problems. You've got problems. We've all got problems. And they think, oh, well, if I just land in a good church, then all my problems are going. No, that just means Jesus is going to come walk with us in our problems. But here's what happens. They discover the imperfections of the church and the people and those things. And then when that happens, they get discouraged. And then they leave the church. Well, how do we break that cycle? How do we break that cycle? How do we turn that around? Well, the truth is that it starts in the family. It starts in the family. The parents' role is to teach their children and to pray and love the church. It's the parents' role to do that. And so you got to teach your kids that the church is full of imperfect people, and you got to pray for those people. You got to be interested in the church and its leaders. And you just begin to impress upon your children the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ when they're young. And they'll grow up and they'll know. One of the things that my wife and I did when our kids were younger is we would kind of have these little prayer walks in our house. And maybe you've done something like this. We just get our kids. We got three kids, and a couple of them are off at college now. One's starting high school. And when they were younger, we'd kind of plop them all down in the living room. And we'd put on like a praise DVD, or we'd listen to the Christian radio station or something like that. We'd put that on. And then we would have went around and go in the kitchen and go in the living room and then up into all of our bedrooms. We'd just put a little 3x5 card, and it would be like on their bed or taped to the back of the chair or something like that. And so we'd all get in there and play this music. And then I would usually take off, and I'd go in the kitchen and I'd pray. And then maybe on the card to just say, you know, God, thank you for the way you've provided for us, and we don't miss any meals, and you look after us, and we appreciate, and go in the living room, you know, and God, thank you for the family time and things like that, or maybe thank you for the church family and for the people that are there and some of our friends. And we go up into all the bedrooms and just put our own name on there, and so go in and pray for each of the kids, and they'd pray for their siblings by name, and kind of wind through, and then I'd make my way all back into, and then when I'd go, as soon as I'd leave the kitchen, I'd head into the living room. And then one of my kids would come find me. And we'd just make this chain. We'd make our way. And then I'd get done and head back into the living room and sit down and say, keep listening to the music. And then they would just, as they finished up, make their way. We'd all be sitting in the living room. And then, you know, it'd be kind of like everybody get back, sit down. Okay, ready, break. You know, on with the day. But all we did is just try and impress upon our kids. Listen, we're a family. We pray together. We pray for each other. We pray for our church family. And it starts at home. It starts at home. Too many people, they grow up in the church, and then they get out and they leave and things like that. We just need to impress that. How do you want to love? You want to love coming to church? How many of you want to come to church? Oh, not church again. No, you want to love coming to church? What you do is you have an attitude of gratitude, and you look after those people that are around you. You prepare yourself, and you expand your guest list, and you look out for the cycle of death. And how do we push back on that cycle of death? Lastly, you do this. It requires unconditional love. Unconditional love is required. You got to love the people that are at the church. You know, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. He says, he tells us to look at the log in our own eye and not worry about the speck in somebody else's eye, right? Jesus said that. And so you start to do that and you go, okay, more grace for them. You got to have a grace awakening. And love these people over here and love them over here, because I'm really no better. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So that's what we do. Paul said that when he's writing to the Romans. He said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's that mean? That means that we are to be a people that look forward to being a part of the body of Christ. There's one God. His church is enormous. It's global. And when we get together, we're one little family group that gets together. And we're supposed to be interested and care for and love one another. And we're supposed to share that with our community. That's what we're supposed to. I want to illustrate that a little bit. So I'm confident you can still hear me okay or not, or yes or no, or hold the microphone and do it no. Okay, here we go. Here's what happens, I think, is that we all kind of start off in this place where we feel pretty good about ourselves. This is Hank. And we feel pretty good about ourselves, and I'm a pretty good person, and a lot of people out in the world that don't know Jesus, they think about themselves as, I'm pretty good, as long as I'm not like, that felon, right? As long as I'm not like that guy that's locked up for life in the penitentiary, I'm probably a pretty good guy, right? And so we think that way. But the reality is that the scriptures tell us that don't lie. And then, so here's your first opportunity to lie today, okay? Have you ever told a lie? And see, if you say no, well, guess what happens? The truth is, we're liars. We tell lies, and so we kind of mar ourselves. The scriptures say, don't steal. Don't ever steal nothing, right? Do not steal. And, I to tell you the truth, I think I got some drill bits in my garage right now that kind of borrowed them from somebody maybe 15 years ago, and with every intention of giving them back, but somehow or another, I look at them every once in a while, and they never make their way back. And the reality is that, well, Scripture says, Steve says, don't do that. You can't do that. And so we just kind of get marred, and good thing there's an Old Testament, right? It says, don't commit adultery. Well, never did that one, but then Jesus comes, he turns the heat up on that one, doesn't he? Don't even look lustfully at somebody. Yeah? Yeah, I think maybe once. Maybe once, right? And all the guys kind of snicker and think. But this is true. We're sinners. And we're marred by sin. And the way we really look, it's kind of more like that. It's kind of marred. That's us. So the world says, oh yeah, you got problems, I got problems, we all got problems. So what you need to do is you need to clean yourself up. That's what you need to do. Clean yourself up. Just kind of get in there and just kind of wash yourself up, get yourself all cleaned up, and you'll look good, and everything will, oh wait, that didn't work, did it? And then somebody tells us about Jesus. And they say, well, yeah, have you ever been baptized? Well, no, I've tried cleaning myself up. No, no, no. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, been baptized into Christ, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then let God just forgive you? You ever do that? Well, that sounds really interesting. Maybe that's something that I should do. And so we learn about Jesus. And it cleans us up. It makes us right with God. And Jesus, he says, once you know about me, once you live for me, then what I want you to do is, I want you to go out into the world. And what I really want you to do is clean up the world. Tell them about me. Tell them about my church. Get involved. Be interested. There's only one God, and he's the God of a global church. And he's put the Fort Des Moines Church of Christ right here to reach the people that are in this community. He says, you guys are the one. Love the church. Be interested in the church. Be involved in the church. Reach the people of this city. So just kind of watch some of this.
consider what the preacher said and consider your soul's salvation as well as we sing this final song. Thank you, preacher.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am old. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Our closing prayer.
In the bond of love, we have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Everyone, let us feel His love begun. Let us join our that the world will know. We are one in the bond of love.
Love you guys. Have a good week.